Well, as you know, today is the feast day of St. John Paul II. He was just canonized in April, so it's the first time we really had a chance to say Mass in honor of St. John Paul. Last year, he was Blessed John Paul. And it is great to be here at the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception. I want to thank your driver, Terry McCarthy, for driving all these lovely women. As you know, he is truly blessed among women, just like our Blessed Mother. Well, let's take a look at the life of John Paul the Great. He has been called the Great, one of the two or three popes in the history of 266 popes that have been given the title the Great because of his amazing papacy, one of the longest papacies in the history of the Church, almost 28 years as pope. So it's certainly within the top five longest, and maybe one of the top two longest in the history of the papacy. And he did so much during his time as Pope. He gave us the Universal Catechism of the Catholic Church. It was the first Universal Catechism since the Council of Trent 400 years before. Now, there were other catechisms like the Baltimore Catechism and things. Those were national. This was the first Universal Catechism. He also redid and updated the Code of Canon Law, which was a major thing because the previous one was from around like 1910, so that was very important as well. He is considered the most traveled pope in the history of the Church, visiting 130 countries on 105 papal trips. He got to almost every country of the world. The only ones that he could not get to that he wanted to get to were China and Russia. He'd always wanted to go there, but he was never able to be allowed in. But his papal visits did change the world. There was a beautiful video called 13 Days That Changed the World. And it's about the papal visit in 1979 when John Paul went back to Poland, which was still under the communist stranglehold. And Pope John Paul II spent 13 days going to different cities, and that really brought about the resurgence of the Catholic faith, and this was what eventually led to solidarity, and it led to the demise of communism in Poland. So we thank John Paul II, Ronald Reagan, and others who worked for the fall of communism. So John Paul II also was very ecumenical. He dialogued with the Muslims and with the Jews. They say he may have been the first pope to go into a synagogue as pope since St. Peter, in order to do a prayer service. He also visited a mosque, and in 1986 he went to Assisi, had the World Day of Prayer, and 150 world leaders from different religions came and prayed together in Assisi, praying for peace. The pope also prayed for peace and asked world leaders to bring about peace during the troubles during his papacy in Rwanda, Kosovo, the Sudan, Iraq, and the Balkan Wars that took place during his pontificate. Other interesting things about Pope John Paul the Great was that he canonized more saints and beatified more than any other pope in history, because he wanted us to have role models and examples. Examples for the young people, examples for married couples, examples for singles or widows, to have role models and examples as saints. So he beatified and canonized more than any other pope. He also, of course, was a great defender of life from the moment of conception until natural death. And the writings of John Paul are always about the dignity of the human person, the dignity of every person, the unborn, the elderly, the handicapped, each and every person. And he always loved the sick and visited the poor and the sick. And he himself, at the end, contracted Parkinson's and was quite ill the last couple years of his papacy, but he never gave up. He persevered to the end, and he himself was a witness of the dignity of human suffering and the value of the mystery of suffering, because he united his sufferings to Christ for the salvation of the world. And of course, he was also I would call him the Pope of Forgiveness, because after the assassination attempt on his life, he went to visit the man in prison and forgave him. And eventually this man got baptized and became a Catholic later on because of the forgiveness and the mercy of the Pope. And he was also, of course, the Pope of Young People, started World Youth Days. And what a great idea to reach out to the young people. And I had the privilege of going on 3 World Youth Days. The first one I went to was in Denver in 1993, which was an amazing experience. And one of my parishioners was a Secret Service agent. He got me backstage after the papal event on Saturday night. And he said, stand right here next to all the people in the wheelchairs. And he says, if you do that, he'll come right to you. And so the Pope, you know, was coming down the aisle. So I got to shake his hand and kiss his ring. And I got to say a few words to the Pope. Now, I knew that in the seminaries in Poland, whenever you greeted someone, you always said Ave Maria. And so that's about the extent of my Latin. So I said to the Pope, Ave Maria. And he looked and smiled and said, Ave Maria. So he greeted me with that greeting. So I kissed his ring and then haven't washed these hands ever since. And so then also I got to go to the World Youth Day in Manila. And I got to be in the crowd, the largest crowd in the history of the world. 5 million people gathered for the Papal Mass in Manila in 1995. And it was great because I was about a foot taller than the rest of the population. So I could see the Pope and to be in that crowd and to see 5 million people there for the Mass was an amazing experience. Then I took another group to World Youth Day in Paris in 97 and got to see the Pope there. Didn't get that close. And then in Rome also in 97. And when he came to Baltimore, I was in the stadium, Orioles, Camden Yards, I guess, where he was in Baltimore. So he really was the Pope of my youth, my teenage years, and my college years, and seminary formation, and the Pope of that was the Pope during my ordination 24 years ago. And he was really the Pope of my own priesthood for so many years. And so today we remember him, and we think of his beautiful spirituality. He was called the Pope of Mercy, because he canonized St. Faustina, promoted the devotion to the Divine Mercy message, made the feast day of Divine Mercy. And he was also called Our Lady's Pope because he always encouraged the praying of the rosary. He would give rosaries to everybody that he met. And he took it as his motto, Totus Tuus, Ego Sum, I am all yours, Jesus, through Mary. So he's called Our Lady's Pope. His whole life was focused on Christ. And he said, it's only in Christ can we see the true nature of man is in Christ. And that Christ is the central figure of the human race. And he has to be the most important person in our life. That's why we come to Mass, receive Jesus in the Eucharist. And I guess we could summarize the Pope's spirituality by the vision of Don Bosco. Said he once saw a man in white leading the ship, which was the church, through tumultuous seas with the great enemies trying to bombard the large ship. And the Pope was straining to lead the church through 2 pillars. One pillar had the Blessed Sacrament. The other pillar had our Blessed Mother. And so this Pope, with all his strength, steered the church between the 2 great pillars, the Eucharist and our Blessed Mother. And those should be the pillars of our own spirituality as well. Jesus and the Blessed Sacrament, we come to Mass, receive him in the Eucharist, we go to Eucharistic adoration, and then we're devoted to Our Lady through the wearing of her miraculous medal, through the praying of the rosary, and consecrating ourselves to Jesus through Mary. So his spirituality was St. Louis Marie de Montfort to Jesus through Mary, and that should be our life as well. Every day to grow closer to Jesus through the hands of our Blessed Mother.